If you'd like to follow along, the text for this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the work by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Good morning, church. It is good to be together this morning, and it is always a blessing when we can gather and worship our Father in heaven and open up his word and study from it. So today is Super Bowl Sunday. Now, I recognize in Northeast Ohio, that just doesn't mean a whole lot, does it? Our Super Bowl is the draft, but that's another subject. But tonight, there are teams from Kansas City and from Philadelphia that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl. And so I would expect that those two cities right now, they're pretty excited about what's going to be happening. I'm sure there's parties already going on, and maybe even this party's been going on all weekend. But the Super Bowl is a big deal. And even if you're not a sports fan, you've probably heard about it. I mean, it's everywhere. It's on in the commercials. It's on the news. It's going to be televised. There's going to be thousands at the stadium tonight. I think it's in Arizona tonight. If you would like to go to the game, the cheapest ticket you can find is $6,200. No thanks. There'll be thousands and millions watching on television. And if you'd like to advertise during the Super Bowl on those commercials that make us laugh sometimes, for a 30-second commercial spot, just a 30-second spot, only is going to cost you $7 million. So the Super Bowl is a big deal in the sports world. And it's the two teams of the American Football Conference and the National Football Conference, the two best teams, and they're going to meet tonight for the championship. It's the big game, as has been said. But that's not what I want to talk about this morning. As exciting as that game might be, and as good as it's going to be, and as much as pumped up as those people are from those cities and the fans, I want to talk about our Super Bowl as Christians. And that's heaven. That's something that as Christians we can look forward to. We should be excited about. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What's important to us? What do we really focus on? Do we focus on the things of this world? Do we focus on big games? Do we focus on those kind of things? Or do we focus on something that far exceeds our wildest imagination? And that's heaven. Because we really don't understand what that's going to look like. We can read about it, and we hear stories about it, and it's written in the Bible, some things about us, so we can just kind of get the picture. But we really don't know what it's going to be. In Revelation chapter 22, however, starting at verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. They shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. See, as Christians, we have that hope. We have that hope that one day, if we're found faithful in the end, that we can be in heaven with the Father. And all these things on this earth, it's not going to matter to us. We're not going to worry about what happened before. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like when we're on in front of the throne of God and we're seeing all His majesty and all His beauty and all of His glory. We're going to get to worship Him every day, all day. What's eternity? Have you ever thought about eternity? If you think about it, it kind of makes my head hurt a little bit. But it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's where we're going to be if we're found faithful. You see, as Christians, we should long for heaven. We should have a desire to go to heaven. Think about when there's something that you wanted really bad. Whether it was you wanted to go on a vacation or you wanted to purchase something or whatever the scenario is, you can put in your own thoughts. But think about that. You worked really hard to get that. Maybe you saved for a year or two to be able to afford that special vacation. Or you put aside money every paycheck so you can buy that new car or get that new house or whatever it is. Whatever goal you set for yourself, you were determined that you were going to get that. And nothing was going to stop you. Nothing was going to get in your way to get whatever it is that you had decided that you wanted. As Christians, heaven should be that way for us. We should want nothing more than heaven. Everything we do and everything we say and our actions and our thoughts should be have in focus that our ultimate goal is heaven. And that we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure we're in heaven. We're not going to let anything get in front of us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16 says, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." If we're not in heaven, if we're outside of heaven, if we're outside of the Father, we're going to have pain and suffering. When it comes down to the end, when He sends Christ back to claim His children, whether we're living on this earth or whether we've already passed on, it doesn't matter. But in that end, if we have not been found faithful, we'll be outside of heaven. We'll be in a place that there's gnashing of teeth. We should do everything we can. Our number one focus should be to live our life so that we might be in heaven with the Father eternally. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks about his desire for heaven. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on earth, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I remain in the flesh, is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." He says in verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That might be hard for us to say sometimes. But I sure hope, and I sure pray, that we have something to look forward to much better than what we have on this earth. And Paul's saying that there is something there that far exceeds any of our wildest imaginations. And he's telling us, he's saying, for me to live is Christ, but if I die, I'm going to gain so much more. Because Paul was in Christ. But that's the same for us. Our focus has to be on the Father. Our focus can't be on ourselves. We have to put all of our wants and all of our desires aside. In class up here and in the class downstairs, the past several weeks, the word humble has come up. And we've talked about spiritual maturity and humbleness. And what's that mean to really humble ourselves? We have to recognize that we can't do this on our own, that we need the Father. And that when we ask Him to come into our lives and we ask Him to be number one in our life, that He's going to guide us. And He's going to help us. And He's going to show us the way. And He's going to be there for us. And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean we get this little bubble around us and that nothing is going to penetrate that bubble and we're going to have a perfect life here on earth. And then that's not what that means. We're going to have trials. We're going to have struggles. We're going to be in dark places. We're going to feel like nobody understands us. We're going to feel like nobody gets it. We're going to feel like we're all alone at times. But we're not. And if we remember the Father, and if we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we just break those walls down, and we ask Him to help us, and we ask Him to come into our lives, and we can humble ourselves, then we can achieve that goal of heaven. Back in Revelation 21 again, verse 5 and 7, 5 through 7 says, "Then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be with his God, and he shall be my son." The Father's waiting for us. We get this little glimpse in Revelation of what heaven's going to be. And we can read about the streets of gold. And we can process in our mind what that looks like. But in reality is when we get there, it's going to be so amazing. And there we're going to get to be with the Father. We're going to be in front of His throne. We're going to be worshiping on our knees. And we're going to be singing with the angels. Praising Him all day. There's going to be no night. There's going to be no need for light as we just read, because the Father is going to give us that light. He loves us so much that even though there's sin in this world, He gave us His Son because He knew we were going to choose wrong. He knew we were going to make mistakes. He knew that when He created us, all things were good, but He also knew that sometimes we were going to be weak. Sometimes we allow the things of this world to creep into our lives, and sometimes we separate ourselves from the Father. He knew all that. But He wants us in heaven so much with Him that He gave us Jesus. He put Jesus on this earth to not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And as we just did a little while ago, we remembered that sacrifice. And every first day of the week, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And I hope we never forget that. I hope we never take that for granted. And I hope we thank Him every day of the week. Every time we pray. We are sinners. We read where it says, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So to get to heaven, to get to our end goal, we need Jesus in our life. Paul longed for heaven. Paul was excited to go to heaven. And as Christians, we should be too. Even though we maybe can't comprehend it, and even though we maybe not can't understand what that really means, but the things we read in the Scripture, we should read And we should try to understand and realize that the things of this world, they just don't matter. Now, if you ask society and our culture, that's just the opposite of what they say. In our society, it's how big a house do you have? What kind of car do you drive? What's your title at work? What's your social status? How much money do you have? Those are the things that are important. But as Christians, we should know that those aren't the important things. God doesn't care about those things. God will bless us with those things, and I hope we can use those things to His good. But that's not what's important. What's important is, do I love the Father? What's important is, do I come to worship every first day of the week, and am I truly looking forward to worshiping Him? What's important is, do I read and study my Bible? Do I share what's in it? First of all, I have to understand what's in it. And to understand something, we have to read it. And I have to understand it before I can share it. What's important to Him is, are we praying to Him every day, asking Him to help us? Are we praying to Him, thanking Him for all the blessings that He gives us? We're so blessed. I'm not going to speak for you, but I'll speak for myself, and I take those things for granted sometimes. I need reminded every day how good a Father we have and how much Jesus loves us. I need to be humbled, and I need to recognize that it's not about me, but it's about Him. Because in the end, all that matters is what our relationship is with God. It's not going to matter the car we drive or the house we live in or what our title is at work or any of those things. It's not going to matter. What's going to matter is, have I been found faithful? Am I going to be with Him for eternity? Or there's just going to be amazing worship and with the angels and singing and praising? Or am I going to be in pain and suffering? Am I going to be in a place where there's nothing but pain? See, as Christians, our everlasting rest isn't here on earth. Our everlasting rest is in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 9, it says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." You see, that rest is only found in heaven. That eternal rest is only given by God. We may think sometimes that things on this earth is going to be okay for us. Matter of fact, we may even try to use those to fill certain gaps or voids in our lives. We talked about that in the class this morning downstairs. But in reality, the things of this earth, these physical things, it might get us along for a little bit. It might get us to the next thing. But we're always going to be looking for that next thing. If we put our trust in God, if we put our faith in Him, if we totally give our lives to Him, as He tells us, He will give us that water that we will never thirst again. And that rest we're going to find in heaven, it's going to be like no rest we can ever come close to here on earth. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We suffer on this earth, don't we? There are days that is okay. But then there's days that we go through that we just don't know where to even begin. We suffer physically on this earth. There's all different kinds of medical conditions, physical problems. We feel pain. And heaven, there's going to be none of that. There'll be no crying in heaven. There'll be no pain in heaven. It says we're going to get a new spiritual body when we are taken to our final resting place with Him in heaven. This old body, it's going to be gone. We don't worry about when we wake up and our back hurts anymore, or when we have a headache, or whatever it is. You see, in heaven, we're going to be in front of the Father. We're going to be in front of the Creator of this universe. As we read the Alpha and the Omega. We're not going to worry about the things that used to be. We're going to be so amazed and in so much awe in heaven that all we're going to be able to focus on is His glory. And maybe there's been things on earth here that you can think of, or things that you've seen that are beautiful, or times that have been amazing. I think of the times down at church camp when we're all together, whether it's at family camp or at youth camp, and I think of the singing that we have at the youth camp. Man, that's amazing singing. And for me, maybe a little piece of heaven on earth, and we all have those, maybe that church camp is that for me. As much as I love the church camp, as much as I enjoy being there, it pales in comparison to what it's going to be when we're up in heaven with the Father. It says, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. We're not going to suffer anymore. We're not going to have the troubles that we have here on earth. You see, when we're in heaven with the Father, Satan can't get to us anymore. That's why he's working extra hard here on earth. See, he doesn't want us to be in heaven with the Father. He doesn't want us to be in his glory forever and ever. Satan wants us to be with him in that eternal lake of fire. And so Satan's going to do everything he can to trip us up. He's going to do everything he can to put roadblocks in front of us. Satan knows when we're weak. Satan knows when we're hurting. He knows just the right moment to reach in to grab us. Sometimes we let him. Sometimes we give in. And sometimes we're unfaithful to the Father. But he's always there waiting for us. He's waiting for us to come back. See, Satan knows and recognizes that he can no longer have a chance for repentance. Satan knows his eternal fate. And he wants to take as many of God's children away from him as he can, because that's the only way he can get to them. Why we have to be strong. Why we have to read our Bibles and understand the Word and understand that God has to be the center of our lives. The foundation of everything we do has to be the Father. Because we're going to need that strength. We're going to need the Father to help us. And we have to be able to recognize that, first of all, we need Him. Second of all, we have to pray to Him and ask Him to help us. That's all he wants.
He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to tear the walls down. He wants us to pray to Him and say, Father, I need You. And when we do that, when we truly give ourselves to Him, He will do some amazing things with us that we can't even begin to imagine and we could never do on our own. Let's go to Him in prayer. Well, Father in heaven, we love You so much. We thank You for these opportunities we have. We can gather as Your children, Father. We can come to this place and to worship You. And Father, I pray that our worship today has been pleasing to You, Father. And Father, we give You all the glory and all the praise, Father. And we recognize that everything we have is because of You. And Father, I pray that we all do long for heaven. That we understand that the things of this world are just temporary. That there's something better waiting for us, Father. And I pray, Father, that when we lose sight of that, that when we put ourselves first and put ourselves in front of You, Father, that we can recognize the need to come back to You. And You've promised that You'll be waiting with us, for us, with open arms. And Father, we so much look forward to being with You for eternity. Father, we love You and we thank You. In Your Son's name that we pray. And amen. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel. He gave us His word. We read in the Bible, we read of different men and women, and we read of Jesus and the miracles that He did and the things that He did when He walked on this earth. He knew that we were going to need help. None of us were there to see any of it. That's where our faith comes in. We have to believe what we read in His Word. We have to truly believe it with our heart. See, God knows our heart. I may be able to fake my neighbors. I may be able to fake my family. But I'm not going to fake God. God knows where my heart is. And God knows where I truly, if I truly love Him. And He knows if I truly want to be with Him for eternity. The power of God to salvation comes through Jesus Christ. He gave us His Son. And if you're here this morning, you've not taken on Christ in baptism. You've not accepted the gift that God gave us. You don't have that peace. We long for heaven. But if I'm not a Christian, heaven won't be my eternal resting place. My sins won't be washed. My sins won't be cleansed by the perfect blood of the Lamb. God sent His Son to die for me. He took our place on that cross. I'm a sinner. I need His love, I need His mercy, and I need His forgiveness. And the only way I get that is if I tear my walls down and if I give myself to Him and I accept His Son, Jesus Christ, through the waters of baptism. We put away that old person. And we come up out of the water, a new creation. A child of God. Maybe you are a Christian. But you've allowed things of this world to get between you and the Father. We know right now what our relationship is with God. We know right now, if He would come back at this moment, where our eternal soul shall rest. And if I'm where I need to be with the Father, if I've given Him my life and I've dedicated my life to Him and I've tried to do the best I can and I've tried to understand His Word and I've asked for His grace and His mercy and I'm a child of His, I have that final resting place to look forward to. I have that home in heaven that we read about, that we can only imagine how amazing it's going to be. But if I don't have Him as my Father, and I haven't taken on His Son in baptism, the only thing I have is an eternal home of pain and suffering. God's church is an amazing thing. The church family is an amazing thing that God created. And what's so wonderful about it is that we can all help each other. We can pray for each other. We can comfort each other. We can help guide each other. This morning, you have an opportunity to either make your relationship right with God, to make your life right with God, or to come back to Him. But don't wait. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed 10 more minutes. It says that He will come as a thief, like a thief in the night. We don't know when God's going to send Jesus home. We can't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it the next day. We just don't know. We have to be prepared now. If there's anything the church can do for you, come front us now. We stand and as we sing.
Have you been?